Welcome to Tordi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perek Yud, Chapter 10. Yecheskel is in the Beit HaMikdash, watching the scene of destruction play out, watching the man dressed in white report that he has completed his job of saving the tzaddikim, watching Hashem give the decree to destroy everybody else. This perek begins by describing Hashem's glory, which appears as a throne above the heads of the kruvim. Rabbi Yosef Kara identifies these kruvim as those forms of angels above the aron, while in the Beit HaMikdash, the Shechina was always between the kruvim, not above. He therefore sees this placement of the Shechina above the kruvim as Hashem's first step away from the Beit HaMikdash. Slowly, slowly, he's removing his presence. A voice then comes out and is directed towards the man in white who has returned from marking the tzaddikim and who will now be commanded to do a different job. Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Vayomer el ha'ish levush habadim. He said to the man wearing the linen, Vayomer, ba el beinot legalgal, al tachat lekruv, umalei chafanecha gachalei eish mi benot lekruvim, uzerok al ha'ir, vayavo le'enai. The direction to the man is go between the whirling wheels under each of the kruvim and fill your hands with coals of fire from between the kruvim and scatter them over the city. And the man went over to the kruvim as Yecheskel watches. Yecheskel now continues to bear witness to the destruction of the city as the man is told to switch roles from saving people to participating in the destruction of the city and spreading of the fire. As the sounds of the wings of the kruvim can be heard even outside the Beit HaMikdash, the man in white is told again in verse 6, Kach esh, mi binot lagalgal, mi binot lakruvim, take fire from between the whirling wheels, from between the kruvim. Vayavo, vayamod etal haofen, and he goes and he stands next to the wheel. We, the real readers, at this point realize that we are witnessing not a normal nevuah, not that this whole nevuah was normal, but even more abnormal within this nevuah, because we hear the word wheels and kruvim and wings, and we realize that we're in the middle of another rendition of Hashem's Merkava, his celestial chariot that Yecheskel saw in Perek Aleph in chapter 1. As the man is standing next to the wheel, though, the kruv, the cherub itself, takes out the fire from beneath it and puts it into the hand of the man in white, who then turns and leaves. Yecheskel then launches into a description of the kruvim themselves and the rest of Hashem's chariot, the wheels, the kruvim, their faces, and their movement. Yecheskel himself realizes that these are the same angels that he saw in his first vision. As he says in Pasuk 15, Hi hachaya asher ra'iti b'nahar kfar. This is the form, the animal that I saw back at Nahar Kfar in Bavel when I was in Galut. And remember now, he's in Yerushalayim in this long prophetic vision that spans chapters 8 to 11. And then, as then, we are not going to attempt to explain any of the detail of the perek, only to say that this perek is suddenly an extension of Yecheskel's first vision, his initiation, which somehow intrudes and descends into this different, larger vision of his trip to the Beit HaMikdash and his witness of the Chorban in the last two prekim. Now, this perek ends with Yecheskel exclaiming two more times that these are the same animals, the same faces that he saw back in Babylonia in his first vision of Nahar Kfar. What are we to make of this strange perek? What is the role of the man in white? What is the role of Yecheskel? Why does this separate vision suddenly join with Yecheskel's Hakdashah, with his initiation? Why now? And why in the middle of a destruction scene does he suddenly witness again the vision of Hashem's chariot? So we're going to try to take all these questions. We'll start with the last one because it seems the most simple to answer. Why is he in the middle of a destruction scene does he suddenly witness the vision of Hashem's chariot? So perhaps as Yerushalayim is being destroyed, as the people are getting their punishment, as the kavod of Hashem, the Shechina, is moving away from the Beit HaMikdash, first above the kruvim, then outside the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem's chariot is his vehicle of movement. The angels that Yechezkel saw in Perek Aleph in chapter 1 were a premonition of this, Hashem's movement away from the Beit HaMikdash and into Galut with Bnei Israel. There in Nahar Kvar in Babel, Yechezkel saw where Hashem landed, and here he's watching the earlier process of the story. He's watching his removal. Now, the role of this man in white is a little bit harder to parse out. He's told to spread fire to the city, and he does so, but he is told first two times and doesn't do it. He walks over to the kruv, he doesn't put his hands in, and then he walks over again. And finally, it's actually the kruv itself who puts the fire, who takes the fire from underneath itself and puts it into the man's hands, and then he leaves. And it reminds us of Hashem telling Yechezkel that he should eat the Megillah, but then feeding it to him. Of telling Yechezkel to stand on his feet and then doing it for him. And these are all from Yechezkel's initiation scene, where Hashem tells Yechezkel to do something, but then Hashem ends up doing it for him. And I'd like to really delve into this parak according to a read of Dr. Chagi Miskav, where he presents this fascinating read of this parak and he addresses these questions. And he notes that reading between the lines of this parak, we can sense that there's a reluctance of the man in white to carry out his mission. He will do it, but he's passive about it, finally leaving only when the fire is put into his hands. Furthermore, he notes that this man has two opposite jobs. One is to save the people by marking their foreheads in the last parak, and then here in this parak, he has the opposite job, to destroy the city. And the first he does with alacrity, and he comes back and he gives a report when he's done, but the second he does reluctantly, and we don't get a report. There's also a very strong connection between this nevuah and Yechezkel's hakdashah in parak Aleph, his initiation. They meld together, as well as the connection between this and there's another parak that this parak is connected to, and that's parak Hey, in the one where Yechezkel shaves his hair and he burns some and he disperses some and he ties some to the corner of his clothes, which symbolizes the people who will survive and bear witness to what happens. And this man also saves people and focus on those that survive by marking his forehead, but also uses fire and burns. Lastly, this man is dressed in white linen, the clothes of the Kohen. Based on these comparisons, Chagi Miskav suggests that the figure of the man in white represents Yechezkel himself, one who is involved and speaks of destruction, while at the same time protecting the ones who will survive to give testimony about what happened. Here in Perek Yud, chapter 10, Yechezkel watches not just the destruction and salvation of the few, the destruction and the salvation of the few. I mean, it's not just that he watches the Chorban play out, but he watches his own job play out. He watches somebody in the vision do his job, symbolize him. He is part of the process of bringing about the Chorban, not just an onlooker. He's not just playing it out and explaining it. He is part of it, not in a literal way. He, of course, doesn't kill anyone or set the city on fire. But nevertheless, his bearing of the message of destruction, that it is coming, why it is coming, it would have been preventable. And it can be preventable again in the future, in the new society, is part of the Chorban. By discussing it before it happens, he is not just an onlooker, but he is part of the process. He is part of the processing, and he is part also of the salvation in the sense of he is part of the making sense of this tragedy. And perhaps that is why this perek is so intimately connected to the Maaseh Merkava, the construction of Hashem's chariot of Perek Aleph through Gimel. Yechezkel is seeing the same thing, the same images that he saw in Nahar Kvar. He realizes here that these visions are connected, that he is experiencing something again, or better still, he's continuing something that he wasn't able to fully experience before. Therefore, he references over and over, this is the same as my earlier vision. I saw this already at Nahar Kvar. The vision of Nahar Kvar was his initiation, his hakdasha. At the time, Yechezkel was mute and dumbfounded. He was completely overwhelmed and fell on his face constantly. He had to be fed the Megillah, which symbolizes his prophecy. These two prakim, 9 and 10, are a reiteration of the Hakdasha, of his initiation, in the sense now that Yechezkel here understands his role. but in a much more intimate way. He realizes that his role is not just to be a witness who stays in Galut, but an active part of the destruction of Yerushalayim. In Prakim Aleph to Gimel, Yechezkel doesn't do anything. He's completely forced. And here, the linen-clad figure who represents Yechezkel is also more passive in the beginning, but then does something at the end. And he is the one, though, who actively actually marks the tzaddikim and actually does the destruction. These are two parts of his job, the nevuah and the symbolic actions of destruction and the focus on the marked people, the plitim, which Yechezkel talks a lot about, those that survive, the survivors, both the survivors of Jerusalem and the people of Babel who were exiled before. They're both survivors and they bear witness to the sins and what caused it, and ultimately they are the ones that move on and build the new society. This vision is extremely necessary for Yechezkel's next stage of his nevuah and his understanding of his own role. Yechezkel doesn't understand his role at all in Perek Aleph through Gimel. He and we, the reader, are completely overwhelmed. Hashem tells him over and over that he will speak, but then doesn't tell him what he'll say. He tells Yechezkel he'll be mute and only speak Hashem's words, but not what those words are. He feeds him the Megillah, but he doesn't let him read it. Then, in Perek Dalet through Zion, 4 through 7, Yechezkel undergoes all these ma'asim simliim, these symbolic actions. He plays out the destruction. He plays out the salvation of some of the people. And now, in Perek Chet through Yud, 8 through 10, Yechezkel has an actual nevuah, in the classical sense, really his first one, where he sees the Chorban and salvation play out and he is a part of it. He can find his speech and cry out on behalf of the people. He can be reluctant. He can be engaged. He's fully part of the process now with everything that he has. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.